It is day four of our journey. We're getting up on the final hours. We're at 5 o'clock today. We are in Catonsville. We're doing all this for the Maryland Food Bank. Lots of folks have brought some canned goods. There have been some donations. We had Carmen Del Guecho begin the day here. And we'll be doing this finally on Friday and hopefully again next year. It's been such a successful week talking to so many inspirational people and cool people across so many lines of charity, and I love when we get survivors, because I go to bed with one every night and I wake up next to one every day. Vonita Goodman is here on behalf of the NKF. I've done a whole lot of Sante and National Kidney Foundation. How are you? Good day.
Very well.
It's a pleasure to have you on, and pleasure for Keith Richards would often say, "It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere." You know, and I always say that to my wife. You know, she's a 2-time bone marrow transplant survivor.
Wow.
She's coming up on her 10-year anniversary of her first diagnosis. And so I live with a miracle. A man in Germany saved her life with bone marrow. We didn't know what leukemia was or any of that stuff. And I know I have kidneys. I know they can be donated. I know someone could save my life. I've met a few folks like yourself that have been in the unfortunate circumstance of needing an organization like the National Kidney Foundation. I think that's what you're here doing, right?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well.
You are
very happy.
A recipient, right?
I am.
How many years ago? Give us your story.
Last month, I actually celebrated 3 years post-kidney transplant.
Congratulations.
Thank
you're doing
you.
Well.
Thank you so much.
Can I look as good as you do after a kidney transplant? I mean, come on.
I think so.
Well, my wife's the same thing. I mean, she went through her bald phase and she was beautiful when she's bald. And then she came back to life and it was like a tree. It was like it just bloomed, you know? You look awesome.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's your background? Where are you from and stuff?
So my father's family is from the Caribbean.
I can hear that.
Yeah, Hispaniola, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. My mother's family origin is England as well as the United States. So speaking of Germany, I was raised in Germany as a child. So
you still speak German?
No, I don't.
All right.
Je parle français.
All right, you little friend. All right. So you must have been on the west side of Germany toward France. I don't know.
From my growing up and just being exposed to so many people, you know, and seeing many people of different nationalities and cultures speaking Russian, German, Portuguese.
Well, Europe's that way. I mean,
yeah.
It just is, right?
Yeah.
Maryland's that way. I mean, I didn't hear other languages on the street when I moved into downtown Baltimore 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think the longer you're here, the more integrated we become, just in a general sense, you know, for languages is being spoken, and the slight lilt of an accent for you that feels British but felt more Caribbean to me. I would have maybe made you Bahamian or Jamaican or somewhere along that way, probably.
Thanks.
But just French and English for you.
Just French and English.
Well,
right
Haiti
now.
That's the Haitian side of things, maybe, right?
Yeah, that's the Haitian side. That's the French influence. That's the you know, just the curiosity for people and culture and language. Yes.
All right. So you've got a story that's going to inspire us, I have no doubt, because someone saved your life, and that's why you're here today, and you're trying to save other people's lives.
Yes. So I'm here to speak about National Kidney Month. I'm also here to speak about my own personal story. I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease some years ago, and it ended up escalating to chronic kidney failure. So when you're at that level, you must go on dialysis. And similar to what I'm here to share now is like a story of how the kidney care community is reaching for more empowerment amongst the population in order to educate them, but also have them educate and care for themselves. Because worldwide, you know, 700 million to 1 billion people are affected with chronic kidney disease.
So you're diagnosed, they say, with chronic kidney disease. You're at some point going to need a transplant, that at some point this is, it will become a deteriorating thing?
I mean, no, that's not necessarily so, which is lovely.
Can be rehabilitated or fixed. I don't know the fixed. That's what I said to my wife. Can you fix her? You know, fix her for me.
You can maintain a certain level. You can make better health choices, environmental and social choices, especially amongst the cultural communities, you know, with cultural standards, maybe a work ethic that is outside of the American standard of work, you know. So just coming from these mixed backgrounds, food choices, stress levels, family,
well, you went
value
through all that
system.
When you were diagnosed, right? Like, you were hoping that it wouldn't be worse, right?
I was hoping it wouldn't be worse, but then I was also, you know, not doing the best with taking care of myself, honestly.
So that surprises me. Yeah. All right, so you're being candid. Okay.
I'm being candid.
Okay.
I'm here to, because...
I saw people with lung cancer down at Hopkins that were still smoking, so, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to be that knucklehead, but, you know, I mean, we all make a few bad choices now and again.
Yes.
But I would think that if at this point, I'm 55, so I'd maybe view it differently than if I were 25 and thinking, like, I'm immortal, right? We're all immortal for a limited time, right? And at some point, we have to take care of ourselves.
And that was the point. I was young, in my late 20s, and I just was like, oh, I'll be okay. It was lack of education. And that now in 2024, and most especially in the past few years, the kidney care community has shifted toward a value-based system. And so a value-based system for kidney care is empowering with education. It is reaching across barriers and being more inclusive. Of course, celebrating diversity, you know. So going into some of the communities that are lesser accessed by the medical community, those who may have less time or less resources to dedicate to actually educating themselves, their family members, taking care of themselves because they are living in a certain environment. And that was me. I was just working hard, playing hard, and not aware of actually what level of chronic kidney disease I had.
When you say playing hard, what were you doing that was wrong? What? Drinking? Eating?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
So I don't
bless
drink.
Bless your father for our sin.
Do
I look like a priest? I'm a saint, not a sinner.
This is
right,
great.
Sure.
So I wasn't drinking. I'm not a drinker, but I work in the arts community. I still do. So the whole idea of being an activist, an advocate, you know, it can go overboard because I wasn't caring for myself. So I'm advocating for other people, as I do now with the chronic kidney disease community, but from a different space of being educated and from soul education, right? Having to experience it, go through all those phases, similar to, like, your wife, my hair being gone, negative body image, and depression, honestly. So depression affects up to 60% of the chronic kidney disease community. And so with that being said...
It's a heavy burden.
It's a heavy, heavy burden.
It's a heavy burden. It really is. I mean, any illness is a heavy burden.
Yes.
So you were diagnosed, and then when did it deteriorate? And clearly, you look beautiful now and healthy now. I'm and my wife does too, but... we put pictures up. Nobody knows what that's like to go through it. I mean, my wife spent 155 nights in the hospital, comas, diabetic comas, the different crazy stuff that happened to her, neutropenic, eating, you know, liquid diet, all of that. The bounce back from that, what was the process for you when they said, all right, you're going to die if you don't have a kidney transplant. You're on dialysis. We need to get you fixed. And then you pray for someone to donate to you, correct? And you need a perfect match, like my wife needed a match.
Yeah. That's a great question. So my process was seeing the world as much as I had seen, right? Living and experiencing a certain way of life. I said, okay, if this is how I have to live, I'm going to live it the best way possible. I know what to eat now. I know where to go. I know what to do. So I actually started sailing.
Really?
I got into the sport of sailing. So I started going down to the water. I didn't have any money to join the club. I just would sit on the dock and watch people go by.
Where is this, Annapolis?
This is in downtown Maryland.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I would go and just sit. I live in the downtown area. I would walk down there to deal with my depression. So I spent a lot of time walking. I spent a lot of time just observing my environment and getting in touch with what I was feeling, the guilt, the shame of allowing myself to deteriorate to that level. I was on hemodialysis, so that's using the blood. And I was also on peritoneal dialysis. That's using the fluids within the peritoneum. That's in your stomach. So I was on a machine 12 hours a day. I had a lot of time to think. I had a lot of time to process, but I also had a lot of time to work on okay, what can I do to change my situation? What power do I have? My
2016, kids, this is?
This was in 2016.
All right. 2016. So 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're right on point.
Look at you being all healthy and beautiful. Like, so your transplant was when?
My transplant was 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had 5 years of waiting?
Yeah, four and a half years on dialysis, and then I had the transplant.
Believing that someone would come along. You did not have a match, correct?
I didn't have a match.
You were waiting.
I was waiting. My family tested. Nobody matched. And guess who donated to me? A sailor from the West Coast. A fellow sailor. I don't know this woman. I do know her now.
You know her now?
I didn't know her. And
when did you meet her?
I met her the 2 or 3 days after we had had our life-saving operation.
Ah, same hospital, right?
Same hospital.
What hospital was this?
Inova Fairfax.
All right, Fairfax, Virginia. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a friend who gave a kidney in Boston and flew there and stayed and saved a life as well. So, yeah, I don't know a whole lot of recipients. I know two donors. Now I know a recipient.
Yeah.
So I have another recipient.
Yes.
Vanita Goodman is our guest. I have some notes here from Karen. Thank you, Karen, for sending it over. How can we help you? It's the National Kidney Foundation. I've done Sante. I've done some events, fundraising events, awareness. I've had folks like you on talking about their journey, but this is a big month, right?
Coming up in March.
March is a month.
March 14th, we celebrate National Kidney Awareness Day. But the month of March, all March, we are celebrating National Kidney Month.
Sure.
And with that, we are just focusing on, again, kidney care education, focusing on ways to show people that we're making advances in the medical area. We are supplying resources for people who may have limited income, who need transportation to dialysis, who need rental insurance or rental support, who also need a community. And the National Kidney Foundation, which serves Maryland as well as Delaware, is here to do that. And I'm doing my best to spread the word. So Sante is one of our other events.
All right, I'll come eat with you that night.
Oh, yeah,
come
Sante is divine. And it's I went there, I asked to volunteer because I was like, ooh, the food looks great. I was looking at the website and it came to me. And it was actually the year I received my transplant. So I told them my story. And they said, sure, come down. And from there, I've been volunteering ever since. So 2021 was my first National Kidney Foundation volunteer experience. And
how
then
long did it take you to feel well? When your transplant happens, you're in the hospital, you do the thing, and they tell you 8 weeks, 8 months, 2 years. Do you feel 100% normal now, 3 years later?
I don't feel 100% normal, actually.
Why?
I don't. There's still, you know, there's something new there. So when they give you a kidney transplant, they don't take out your other kidneys. People think that, I have three kidneys.
Okay.
I have two natives, which I'm born with, and then you have a transplanted kidney.
So do the two still function or no?
They are not functioning at their capacity. They actually start to shrink.
Okay.
They do function.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, there's something new there, and sometimes it even, if anyone else has had some major surgery.
It's making me do like a little
I feel it sometimes.
They've talked about operating my back and knee replacements. I'm like, what's it like to have the replacement in there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm missing a finger. Everybody thinks that's weird, right?
Oh.
So, you know, but talking about things that are different than other people, especially when it's someone else's, right? Like, and you got to meet this person. My wife... So I'm actually sitting on the seat cushion. My wife had her life saved by a guy in Germany who loves football. Hi, Niels. And she took him to the football game. And this is the seat cushion from Frankfurt, from Germany.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So it's even a little German bank here. So my wife gave me this because my back screwed up. So I'm sitting on this each and every day here. But she spends time with her donor. They travel. And she was the best person in his wedding virtually because it happened during the plague. So there's a real connection. Over the 3 years, have you seen your donor again?
Yeah. We've both grown.
Well, she's special. Let's start with that.
She's a special person. She's...
And a sailor.
And a sailor.
Right.
You know, she's a sailor. She grew up sailing. She asked me, how did you get into sailing? I've never seen someone who looks like you sailing, you know, so competitively. And I'm like, oh, that's another story. But she's really open and honest with me. We're just straightforward. She wanted to donate her kidney to a woman of color. which brings us to the theme of the National Kidney Month, which is increasing diversity and inclusion and health equity for all. So we're really in a lovely shift. She is definitely part of that shift. We travel together. We spend a lot of time outdoors. She travels the world. We haven't done that together, but now I'm inspired.
Well, my wife wants to do the safari with Niels because that's on both their bucket list. That's their That's their number one for both of them. So I'm like, yeah, I should do that together. I'll watch the cat.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to go on safari, but like, I love my cat and they're going to go for 3 weeks. I'm going to sit back and wait for the pictures and the videos, you know?
It's a bond unlike anything else. I don't know how to even describe it when I think
of her. Oh, I witness
it,
and I don't even know what I'm like, because they look alike.
Yeah.
You know,
Well,
they were DNA matches, so they're kind of related in some, they're before, you know, through pathology, I guess, right? Yeah, so I had to learn about all this, so.
Yeah.
It inspired all of this and people like you here.
Yeah.
Funny to come here on behalf of the National Kidney Foundation. I need to wrap just because I got a whole bunch of people waiting in line. Do we cover everything about March?
So,
or where should people go and what can they do?
So please visit the Kidney Maryland, kidneymd.org for any information about what's going on in Maryland for Sante. It will be on
May 8th. All right,
8th.
I got to put that there. They invite me every year.
And, yeah.
You know, I've been the giving the award for the food. They invite me to be the tasting. So you eat everything, and then you pick the best thing. I've had some delicious food there.
I know.
Good dancing. It's been a real. It's a beautiful event. Is it at the Visionary Arts still, or
no? It's going to be at the Baltimore Museum of Industry.
Okay, so down
right
the
on the water,
right.
Lovely place.
I emceed an event down there a few months ago. They have an exhibit at the Museum of Industry. When you're there, I want you to see it. It's the Bethlehem Steel, where my father worked in the steel mill, and they honor East Baltimore and the working man because of industry, right?
Yeah.
So the Museum of Industry.
Yeah.
It's a great place, but they honor Bethlehem Steel right now. They have a big exhibit. So
thank you.
See that.
Bethlehem
Steel was a steel man. All of our parents worked there. 70,000 employees back in the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
There was a steel manufacturing plant that's now Trade Point Atlantic in the Sparrows Point area.
Thank you.
She's not from around here. It's okay. But you can learn. That's how you
I'm
get to
learning.
Learn.
Exactly. See?
All right.
Thank you,
so
Ness.
That's the 8th of May.
That is the 8th of May, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. And don't forget Sante. It's a very, very amazing event. It's fun. There's food. There's raffles and a silent
Gives
auction.
Gives me a chance to look half as good as you. I do my hair.
Yeah,
shave,
that's right. That'll be exciting. And we can celebrate your lovely wife, too, of her accomplishments.
We're going to find something good to eat, you and me, is what we're going to do.
Yes. Because
you already told me you like to eat.
How you
stay like that? No.
Look, one more thing. Maryland Kidney Walk. Don't forget about that. That's coming up October
6th. That's right, over
6th
here. It's UMBC.
At the UMBC. And it's another great event that supports kidney care awareness.
I told folks when I was doing this, I'm going to meet some cool new people. Vonita Goodman is my new friend. She is a kidney recipient. So we want to thank the National Kidney Foundation for all their work as well. I got all sorts of stuff. This reminds me of being at the Super Bowl because I've got paperwork from Susan G. Komen here. I got cards from Itinerist. They do autism. I got a card here from Adam Rosenberg. He does intervention and child abuse for Center of Hope. We have Tom York here for the B&O Railroad Museum. I'm doing all sorts of things, and we're going to continue on. We Sisters Academy, Sisters of Hope Academy. Bill Cole's going to come back in here. I don't even know what else I have happening. I know we're giving all the food away in an hour. Oh, I'm going to cry in the 4 o'clock hour. Kira Babs is going to be here. She is the LLS, Leukemia Lymphoma Society Junior Visionary. They're trying to recruit me to be the man of the year, the visionary of the year. I'm not qualified for that. But Kira is running for junior visionary, and I hear she's beautiful, and her mother is a bone marrow transplant recipient, so I'm getting to meet another miracle today. That's two miracles in one hour. Holy,
what a blessing.
I need a bowl of soup is what I need. We're doing this for the Maryland Food Bank. By the way, I feel like Oprah when I give these out. And you get a lottery ticket. 10 times the cash, Maryland Lottery folks. Put
Thank
us
you.
Together. Everybody in the room's got one of these right now. So I'm going to go out and yell who won. Somebody better won some money around here today. Pappas is our last chance to do this tomorrow. Crab Cake Row, a cup of Super Bowl. If you're still in the area in Catonsville before 5, drop by. We have canned goods. We have cool stuff we're taking for the local food bank, and at I want to get this right. At later next hour, Catonsville Emergency Assistance is getting all the canned goods from here today, and Caitlin Kirby is going to come by. It's another Kirby. It's three Kirbys in one day. I don't know. I'm going to get Andrea Kirby on the phone, my old sportscaster buddy. I am Nestor. We're live. We are in Catonsville. I am losing my voice. We are in hour 31 of 40 hours of marathon, radiothon, good-ish. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.